We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Well, I guess I started off the service this way, but let me start it again by saying Happy New Year. And the question is, will it actually be that, a Happy New Year? How many of you are glad 2016 is over? How many of you are thankful for the opportunity of a new year? Amen? As with any new year, there is always the hope that this new year will be better than what? Than the last one. That this will finally be the year that we get the car, go on vacation, dare I say lose weight, if you were starting Monday, come on, we got any Monday dieters? Like, I'm starting Monday. I'm starting next week, right? This is going to be the year, you know, this will be the year it's going to happen. And we think of it in those terms. Well, let me start off by giving us this thought, and that is simply this, that whatever hopes you and I have for a happy new year, they must be anchored to God's agenda for our life, okay? Whatever it is, whatever hopes you and I have for this happy new year, they must be anchored to God's agenda for our life. This time of year, a lot of people make what we would call New Year's, and I've read that a lot of those are dying. Some of us make plans. Anybody got any plans for 2017? Two people are planning their life in 2017. The rest of you are spiritual surfers, right? You're just going to see where this wave takes me, man, right? Anybody set any goals for 2017, right? We don't call them resolutions. That's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. But I'll set a goal because we want to be successful in trying to accomplish what it is we would like to do. It's not that it's wrong. I met one guy. He said, I don't make resolutions anymore because I just never get around to them. I never keep my goals. I never keep my resolutions. Those things never seem to happen. You know, the truth is this. You can have an agenda. You can have a plan. In fact, I think it's wise for us to have a plan and have goals for a new year. I think you should do that. I think that's healthy. It's an important thing to do. But the danger is that we can end up sometimes having what I call a competing agenda. It's your agenda versus God's agenda. And how many of you know that God has a way of rewriting your agenda? Can I get a witness on that? Okay. And this is the verse that I want us to kind of center our thoughts on this first Sunday of the new year. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Let's read it together. It's on the screen. Ready? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now pause for a second, because then he goes on to say, and the life which I now live in the flesh and the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This really sets the tone for 2017. And I want you to note this morning, that the pathway to a happy new year leads you toward the death of self and the life of Christ. The pathway to a happy new year leads you toward the death of self and the life of Christ. As we start this new year together, we have a special opportunity to begin the first day of 2017 being reminded of Christ's sacrifice for us. We've been singing about it. Our salvation and our continued sanctification. And as we come in just a few moments, as we come to the table of God's grace, we are met with the reality this morning. And the reality is this, that following Jesus is not taking the path of least resistance, it's embracing the path of suffering and submission. As we enter into this new year, we need to be keenly aware of the fact that being a Christian is not an easy road. Being a Christian requires that as we enter into this new year following Jesus, and if you're a follower of Jesus, maybe right now you should just kind of let folks around you by saying amen. Okay, if you're a Christ follower, it's not the path of least resistance. It's the path of suffering and submission. You see, the world's agenda for you this year and for me, the world's agenda for the most part, is in total opposition to God's agenda. Their agenda is totally opposed to God's agenda. You know, you've heard it said that we live in this world, but we are not what? I heard a fisherman describe this the best way I ever heard it described. He said, you know how I look at that verse? I said, no. He said, it's one thing to have your boat in the water, but it's not a good idea to have water in your boat. Would you agree with that? See, we are in the world, but we are not to be what? Of the world. Far too many Christians end up sinking their souls back down with the weight of the world and the cares of this life instead of living what I call the Christ life. See, there's really only one way to a happy new year. There's not a lot of ways. You want to lose weight? Great. That's going to make you happy for a little while, but not happy for long, because then you got to go buy a new wardrobe, right? Okay. There's really only one way. I think J. Campbell White summed it up well, and I quote, "Most men and women are not satisfied with the permanent output of their lives. Nothing can wholly satisfy the life of Christ within His followers except the adoption of Christ's purpose toward the world He came to redeem. Fame, pleasure, riches are but husks and ashes in contrast with the boundless and abiding joy of working with God for the fulfillment of His eternal plans. The men and women who are putting everything into Christ's undertaking are getting out of life its sweetest and most priceless rewards." As we start the new year, instead of trying to turn over a new leaf, have you ever heard that phrase? What does that mean anyway, right? I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Okay, and then what, right? Instead of trying to turn over a new leaf, I want to challenge us. Let's plan to surrender our life. Let's plan to submit ourselves to the Lord. As we come to the table of remembrance, as we reflect on Christ's sacrifice for sin and our salvation, we discover that this whole coming year, whatever comes our way, whatever happens, there is a way to have a happy new year. There's definitely a way to do it. And I'm going to give us two simple thoughts on this morning. The first is this: give up the life you have planned out and surrender to the life God wants for you. Give up the life you have all planned out and go ahead and surrender to the life that God wants for you. Now, I was sharing with our staff several weeks ago what it means to be a servant. And I talked with them about how easy it is to get the wrong idea and become disillusioned about serving Jesus. Because here's the reality: long before you serve the Lord, there must be surrender and there must be submission. You can't really talk about service until you've surrendered and submitted to what it is God has for you. And I took the staff here in our church to a passage where James and John asked Jesus for a special favor. They want Jesus to guarantee that they get a seat next to Him in glory. They want a special place, a position, and they're sort of planning out their future. They're sort of thinking, well, we got selected to serve, and you know, we're kind of well known now, and we're one of Jesus's disciples. And so, Lord, when it's all done and it's all over, would you go ahead and maybe get us a nice seat at the table next to you? I mean, you know, no harm in asking, right? You don't ask, you don't know, right? So, Jesus, would you kind of, in a way, take care of that for us? Because that's our plan, you know? And here's what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said, you know, not what you ask. Boy, that's a great feeling, isn't it? That's like saying, you don't even know what you're talking about. Okay? And he says, are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? Now, notice what they say. We're able? Yeah. You're like, guys, no, don't do it, right? And so Jesus says, you're going to drink of the cup. They were both martyred, both men. He says, you'll be baptized. but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Who? Now, the pointed answer Jesus gives in response to their question is very revealing. He, in essence, is saying, guys, I don't make the call on who sits where in the kingdom. That's up to the Father. I'm a servant. This is the Son of God. And He's saying, I don't make those decisions. Are you guys catching this? This is Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Telling His men, I don't decide who sits where. I came here to serve, guys. And I'm a servant. And here's the reality. I don't have an agenda. My only agenda is the Father's agenda. And I operate on His plan and according to His purposes. I don't make those decisions. And I think it's safe to say that the whole premise of the question was very self-centered. Give me a special spot, Jesus. We have this plan and we want you to give the go-ahead. What a shock it must have been to them when Jesus said that. But then He follows it up. He says, you know, I can't give you that, but I tell you what, I can give you something. You boys can come serve with me. And Jesus called unto them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you, for whosoever will be great among you, let him be your what? Your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to do what? Give His life a ransom for many. He follows that up later in John chapter 13, shortly before His death, when He says these words, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Now, church, notice these words carefully. If you know these things, everyone say the next word. Happy are ye if you... He didn't say you're happy if you know them. Right? He said you're happy if you... do them. You see, obedience to God's plans and purposes for your life is the pathway to happiness. Resisting the Lord, fighting the Lord, rebelling toward Him, you know, arguing. How many of you have ever argued with God? Just raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you're probably lying, and you should get that sorted out this morning before communion, okay? You see, the danger in Christian circles, the danger that we have here this morning is that we often think that knowing the truth is the same as obeying the truth. Just because we know something to be true is different until we obey it. You can study and be stirred emotionally and enlightened intellectually, but you cannot be blessed spiritually until you put into practice what you know through obedience. And here's the mind-blowing aspect of what I just said. Jesus modeled this. Because it says in Hebrews chapter 5, though He were a son, yet learned He, what? By the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that, what? Obey Him. I think that our obedience to Jesus often hinges on if we like what we're being told to do and if we can make sense of it. How many of you remember when your parents would ask you to do a little job or a little chore? And as long as it was, you know, a semi-simple task, like take the trash out or do something, you know, simple like clean your room. For some of you, that would have been about a month worth of work to do, but it made sense. But if your parents ever said, now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this. And especially as you got in your teen years, if your parents told you to do something that you didn't understand, your first response was what? Why? Why? The danger in being a believer is that we know the truth And then when Jesus tells us to do something, if we can't make sense of it, or we don't understand why he would ask us to do that, or the obedience to it seems hard, our first response is not yes, it's what? Why? Why? Rest assured, in this new year, there's going to be some things that God may ask of you that are what I call a hard obedience. A hard obedience. One that kind of messes with your plans. Can I get a witness? One that messes with your will. Because Jesus prayed, not my will, but what? Not my will, but thine. So we need to start this new year. The only pathway to a new year. As we come to the table, we need to just say, Lord, I have some plans. I want to bring them to your feet. I want to lay them at the cross. I want to surrender to the life you have for me. I'm not asking you to rubber stamp my plans. I'm saying, God, this is my desire. But I'm telling you now, Lord, please override anything that would be outside of what it is you have for me. Surrender. Don't have a competing agenda for 2017. And then secondly, live the life that you have been given in Christ for God's glory. Live the life that you have been given in Christ for God's glory. You see, we surrender our life. And this is so difficult for us. But until we surrender our life, it's then and only then that we find new life and better life and joyful life and abundant life and a full life. I call it, you might want to write this down, the Christ life. And this is what it means to be a Christian. To surrender our life, as Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. I've surrendered my life to Him. The old man has died and now there's a new man. Or if you're a woman, there's a new woman. John 10:10 says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have what? And that how might they have it? More abundantly. You see, friends, the life that we have is the life of Christ in us. And this new life not only makes us happy, but it's our hope. Paul told the church at Colossae, he said these words, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ in who? You, the hope of what? Glory. This new year can be happy. Did you know that you can be happy even in your trials? Even in your difficulty? Even in your sadness? Even in your sorrows? We have hope in Christ. And look up here for just a moment. So if you're happy, I'm not going to say, and you know what, clap your hands, okay? I'm not going to say that, but so if you're happy and you have hope, man, doesn't that change some things? Everything changes, especially the way we pray. Now, we started off the service with pray, didn't we? We started off. I woke up this morning and went out to the couch and sat down for a few minutes and thanked the Lord for this new year. And as I was studying over the last few weeks, I came across this commentator who said this. You might ask if unbelievers even pray at all. They do. Muslims pray, Hindus pray, Jewish people pray, members of cults pray, even Satanists pray. Secularists pray in their most desperate moments, and millions of nominal churchgoers pray who are not born again and do not trust Christ. They ask God for 100 things that you and I would ask God for: daily bread, protection, health, joy, marriage, wholeness, wise children. Pray that a long time, right? Wise children, a good job, breaking of bad habits, forgiveness of bad deeds. Unbelievers want all of these things, and many unbelievers will pray for these things. I personally know unbelievers who have asked God for these things. Do you guys know a few? But he said this, You don't need the transforming work of the Holy Spirit to want any of these things. What then is the difference between your prayers for these and theirs? One of the key differences is that your deepest desire that pervades all other desires is that Christ be exalted. You love Christ. You treasure Him supremely. You have tasted and seen the all-satisfying glory of Christ. And listen, friends, Christ is not your butler. And prayers are not your bell ringing for Him to bring you what you want. Are you listening? He is what you want. He is what you want. And you want Him exalted and honored and glorified and everything. Just listen as people pray and you will find out what they treasure most of all. You see, communion reminds us of the life of Christ that lives in us and must be lived through us. It's the life of Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, what? Liveth in me. Being alive in Christ, the Christ life. You see, as we prepare now for communion, we are going to come to what I call the table of grace. Aren't you glad for the table of grace? Aren't you glad we didn't have to bring any offerings in here this morning? Some of us would have come in with a few turtle doves, maybe a lamb. Some of you would have had to come in with two oxen. We'd have been like, bad week? Oh, yeah. Lot of sacrifice going on here today. Okay. I'm so thankful that we come here this morning and we remember the cross work of Jesus Christ. His suffering, His sacrifice. You see, God's not asking us to sacrifice our life. Christ did that. God is looking for us to live out our life for His glory. And this is possible because of Christ's life within us. You see, a happy new year starts the moment we surrender our life and then begin to live the Christ life. I want you to turn with me over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If there was ever a church that was struggling and going through great difficulty, it was the church at Corinth. And so, as we look at 1 Corinthians, Paul, in addressing the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says, I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of Me. And then after the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Now he says in verse 26, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. And we are greatly anticipating the return of the Lord. Are we not, church?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.